Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to another episode of So I Married a Horror Fan. I'm one of your co-hosts, Simon.
And I'm Lee.
And today we are looking at a lovely 5x5 for you all as we kick off our... Well, I say we kick off. We've already kicked off our April programming. So, yes, today's 5x5, we are going to be looking at our top five horror villains that we root for. A weird list, I know, but there are definitely horror villains that you can root for. For those of you that have never listened to a 5x5 before, this is how it works. So we will pick a topic collectively. We will go back and we will pick our top five things for that specific topic. Three honourable mentions. And then we will take it in turns, going back and forth, given our, you know, our... What's the thing I'm trying to look for? Our picks. And then we will obviously give the reasons for our picks. So we'll do our three honourable mentions first, our number five, and then the second person will do the same thing. And then we'll go one apiece until we get to the end. If there is something that's higher on one of our lists, we will wait to the highest point that we can to get to that particular thing before we discuss it. Outside of that, that's basically how this list works. If you're a long-time listener, you know how these things work. If not, that's kind of how it works. It's just a top five list of some honourable mentions on a topic that we have picked. And today's topic, as I mentioned, is horror villains that we root for. I cannot remember which one of us went first, but I'm going to nominate for you to go first this time. Dramatic pause.
What? Yeah, sorry. My brain stopped working for a complete second, and I was like, what was I doing?
I thought you were just being dramatic, I'm not going to lie.
Nope. I just completely forgot what I was doing. I'm not going to lie to you. Mm-hmm. My brain just didn't function. Okay, so my three honourable mentions for this list, starting off with my third. Mm-hmm. And my one Scream movie on the list.
Yep.
Is Scream 3. Mm-hmm. Roman.
Fuck Roman.
I mean, apart from like the core three... Everyone in that film deserves to fucking die because they are so annoying.
Yeah, but so is Roman.
I know, but at least I could root for him because everyone's annoying as fuck. Mm-hmm. I could have also gone with the killers from 4 as well, to be fair.
Yeah, I, spoiler alert, didn't put anyone from Scream on my list, but I probably would have put Richie from 5.
I like the kids in 5 though. I don't root for the villains. I like the kids in 5.
Yeah, but it's Jack Quaid. Never root against Jack Quaid.
I mean, fair. Yeah, the problem is I find all of the guys in Scream 3 really fucking annoying, and I look forward to them getting picked off.
Yeah, I get it.
And for that reason alone, Roman is on my list. My number 2 honourable mention is Frankenstein's monster. Every adaptation of Frankenstein. Yeah.
I didn't put him on my list because I don't consider him to be the villain. I considered Dr. Frankenstein to be the villain.
Technically, yeah, technically, Dr. Frankenstein is the villain in the original book. The problem is every adaptation of that book makes the monster the villain.
Yeah, okay.
So therefore, by default, I can root for him. Mm-hmm. Love you, Frankie, babes. And then my number one honourable mention is, and this was the main reason I'd asked this question, is Tiffany, but specifically from Bride of Chucky.
Fair enough.
I feel like Tiffany across the series, in all honesty, I could probably stick my hand up and go, yeah, totally. I haven't seen the whole series. Mm-hmm. So I can't say that with absolute confidence, but definitely in Bride of Chucky, mm-hmm. Tiffany deserved better.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Fuck you, Chucky. So that's my three honourable mentions. I'm powering through these at such a rate. And then my number 5 on my legitimate list is, I've just realised I fucked up somewhere because somebody's on there twice.
Fair enough.
The number 5 on my actual list is Sutter Kane.
Is he a villain?
Yeah, he's the villain of In the Mouth of Madness.
Is he?
Yeah. He's the one turning everyone insane. Mm. He's literally the main antagonist of the entire film.
I don't think I really understood that film, if I'm honest.
Okay. Mostly because A, he's an author, and I will always support an author most of the time, depending on their views. And B, I think he's a really interesting villain, mm-hmm. in all honesty. And C, that movie is amazing. And I don't talk about it anywhere near enough, let's be honest. I'm distracted by Josh Rubin most of the time, but Sutter Kane is up there. I just think he's a really interesting villain.
What's Josh Rubin got to do with it?
Because I spend all of my time talking about Josh Rubin films. I never mention In the Mouth of Madness anymore. And I've lost my train of thought now. But Sutter Kane, fuck it, that was what I was saying. There we go.
So my honourable mentions, I have a backup honourable mention because I don't really know if one of these people is considered to be a villain. So my honourable mentions, I didn't put on my main list because I feel like they're all victims of circumstance. And I feel like they both are and aren't villains, but they are characters that I root for. So my number three honourable mention is Norman Bates. Because even though he is a villain, and like Marion Crane is obviously a terrible person.
I didn't even think about Norman.
Who does terrible things. I don't think she deserved to die. However, I do think that he is a victim of circumstance, and I feel like you can root for him through sympathy because he clearly suffers from some kind of mental illness, from like childhood trauma. And while he does do villainous things, it's not actually him that is doing the villainous things. So I find it's easy to root for him from a sympathetic and empathetic light. Mm-hmm. Not, I don't necessarily root for him to murder people, but I root for him as a character, even though he does villainous things, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
My number two, and this is the one where I have a backup for, because I don't know if this character is considered a horror villain, although people do sometimes consider her to be a horror villain. I put Carrie, who again is a victim of circumstance. Like, yes, she does burn down a fucking gymnasium and kill a whole bunch of people, but she kills her mum. But at the same time, spoilers if you haven't seen Carrie, by the way, but at the same time, she is a child who has special powers, whose mother is a religious fanatic, who basically tries to keep her under the thumb of God, and she's relentlessly bullied at school. And I guess in a weird way, this movie is like, I guess nowadays she would be like classed as a school shooter, I guess. Like she would be like in that bracket of like she took her revenge on a whole school of people. And I understand why she is classed as a horror villain. I don't necessarily see her as a villain. Again, she's someone who is a victim of circumstance, who is pushed to do villainous things, but it's completely justified. My number one honourable mention, again, much in the same vein, is Leatherface. Leatherface, again, somebody who clearly deals with some kind of emotional trauma and some kind of, like, mental illness, is in a position where he's raised in a really fucked up family. He's in some kind of emotional arrested development. He's not a fully formed mentally, like, person. And again, I think it's one of those situations where he lives in a place with his family and they live by their own code and people just don't leave him the fuck alone. I for exactly the same reasons, I nearly put Jason on the list because I was like, they are kind of basically the same character. And I was like, do I necessarily agree with cooking and killing and eating people? Not so much. But at the same time, if the people just left him and his family the fuck alone, like, he'd be all right. So, this is where things get weird. My number five honourable mention, Shark in Jaws.
Brucey.
Mate, sharks are going to... All I'm saying is sharks are going to shark. That shark is hanging out in the ocean, not bothering anybody until people just start fucking about in his ocean. And I'm not being funny. Other than maybe the little kid, but it's kind of his own fault because his parents are assholes and don't stop him from going in the water. Most of the people in Jaws kind of deserve to die because they're just ignorant asshole humans who are fucking about in an ocean when they've been told not to after they've been told that there's a shark about. And I was like, at the end of the day, sharks are going to shark. Like, you know. So sure. I kind of root for him because he's just an animal in his natural habitat.
There ain't nothing natural about a shark.
Just doing shark
there
shit.
There ain't nothing natural about that shark.
He's just doing shark shit.
No, he's not even doing shark shit, babe. He's doing the polar opposite of shark shit.
But yeah, I just think the people in that movie, and the mayor is an asshole as well.
The mayor is an asshole. He's the true villain of
like,
that film.
Like, close the beach down, shoo the shark away, then let people go in the water. Good stuff.
Okay.
My man Bruce.
Okay,
who's your number four?
My number four is Pinhead.
No, it's not. because we're going to talk about him a little bit later. So my number four, and I already can see you going, what the fuck, is Brenda Bates from Urban Legend.
Explain your reasoning, please.
So Brent, as we find out at the end of Urban Legend, the reason why she's targeting the main character is because her and her best friend did a fucking stupid gang prank and caused Brenda's boyfriend to get killed. She was like, her boyfriend didn't have to die if these asshole kids weren't doing like that stupid fucking gang initiation. They were dangerously driving, they were being fucking idiots, and they caused a woman's life to irreversibly change and her boyfriend to die for no reason.
Yes, but also it seems like an exceedingly overdramatic reaction to such a thing.
Yeah, but, you know, grief and love make you do crazy, stupid things. Like, so I think, and she has a PowerPoint presentation. This bitch has got slides. She's doing a slideshow. I love Rebecca Gayheart. I think Rebecca Gayheart is mint in everything.
Okay.
And I think she's completely justified in what she does.
Okay.
So that's my number three. My number four.
Okay. My number three is The Organisation.
What, from Cabin in the Woods? Yeah. Oh, fucking behave.
Okay. Hear me out. Because you are correct. They're not a great bunch of people. Overall.
Is it all of them or is it just those two dudes?
Just those two dudes. They're the whole organisation.
And the one fucking intern.
The whole organisation. Hear me out on this, okay? Yes, they are not good people. Yes, they do some terrible things for a lot of innocent people. But also, I kind of don't want the world to end.
Yeah, I get. I understand your reasoning.
Like, they are averting the apocalypse. So therefore, by default, I'm on board with them.
Yeah. Fair enough.
The needs of the many and all of that.
Okay, so my number three is John Kramer, a.k.a. Jigsaw.
Okay.
To a point. I feel like Jigsaw had the right idea. Like, we talked about this when we did our Saw episode. I'm a man. I've got a little Billy puppet tattoo on my arm. I love Jigsaw. I think Jigsaw's one of those dudes who, like, you go out with on a night out and you get really pissed. And then he tells you this weird idea that he's got. And you're like, ha, ha, yeah, sure. And you never think he's going to do it. You just think he's drunk talking. And then the next day he's fucking constructing traps and putting people in fucking traps in warehouses. I kind of understand to a point where Jigsaw is coming from. Like, you know, he didn't have to, like, be given a death sentence because somebody fucked up his medical records. And, you know, it's made him appreciate his life a lot more. And I understand that he wants people to appreciate his life. I think his apprentices are all fucking idiots, except for Amanda. Like, I like Amanda. The other bunch of them are all a bunch of fucking idiots. However, I think there are some Saw movies where he targets the wrong people for the wrong reasons. But for the most part, he takes down people that are fucking assholes. Like, he takes down a fucking insurance company at one point because they're, like, refusing to give people, like, medical insurance and letting them die and stuff. And I can kind of see where he's coming from. I know you don't necessarily agree, and I think you kind of said this when we covered Saw. You were like, well, Adam didn't deserve to be in there. And I'm like, yeah, he fucking did.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he did.
I stand by what I said. No, he didn't. And from what I know about the series as well, as it gets worse, it goes on. Like, he starts targeting people for really arbitrary reasons.
Yeah, see, a lot of his stuff, I kind of understand. Like, when you find out about his backstory and what happened to his kid and all this shit, it's the apprentices more that I have issue with, because the apprentices are, like, just killers that are just looking to kill people for no reason.
In fun, inventive ways.
Yeah, whereas like, John's MO kind of remained throughout, and he targets a few people.
I feel a little bit, though, is, like, in an alternate universe, he is the head of Leverage.
Yeah, maybe.
He's Nate.
Yeah, maybe.
He is, like, Nate. You've seen enough Leverage to understand what I'm saying.
So, yeah, John Kramer's my number three. Who's your number two?
My number two, Lestat de Leoncourt, Interview the Vampire.
Oh, fuck that guy.
Of course it was going to be a Lestat. I mean, technically I could have also picked Claudia, because I do feel like in actual fact Claudia is one of the main villains.
I don't find myself rooting for Lestat, though, because I think he's a narcissistic bellend.
Yeah. But also, on the other end of the spectrum for me, Lestat is one of those characters. Like, I have a lot of background knowledge for Lestat anyway, because I have read The Vampire Chronicles. But even in the film alone, like, Lestat is a very complex character. And half of the problem I have with rooting for the hero of the piece, Louis, is Louis asked to become a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically was like, oh, I regret my decisions. And just moped.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, Lestat. I'd be pissy too. Oh, you want a daughter? We can have a daughter. Look, I'll make you this lovely little girl. Oh, you've turned my daughter against me and now she's trying to kill me. Wonderful. Perfect. Love it. I get Lestat. Because I think part of the reason I like Lestat so much and why I tend to root for him in the movie is because he is a bit of a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, most of the time. But also, I kind of feel for him, because he's tried to build himself this family, starting with Louis, and then bringing Claudia into it, for them basically to immediately turn on him
mm-hmm.
and murder him in cold blood, after pretending to forgive him for whatever it was that Claudia... Claudia's pissed because she can't become a woman. And yeah. Then she poisons him and then sets him on fire.
I mean, it seems like a perfectly reasonable reaction to me.
It does not! Seem like a person like Claudia. You had two options here. You could have either been dead, because yeah. There was no way you were surviving the plague and you were on your own, there was no one else with you, your mother was dead, or you stay a little girl forever.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very petulant about the whole situation. I feel for Lestat, I really do.
Fair enough.
I just do. And I think part of the reason that I do root for Lestat, and I always will root for Lestat, is because I have the background knowledge of where he came from, like in the books.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to him before interview happens.
Yeah.
Which I do think makes him a character that is much more easy to root for. I think he's easy to root for either way. I rooted for him before I'd even read the books. But those books do add that extra layer of it makes it very easy to root for him, because you know his past.
Mm-hmm.
And not the shitty one they give him into the vampire in M. Queen of the Damned.
Fair. So my number two is one that we talked about earlier. It's Pinhead / Hell Priest. Or / Hell Priestess.
Lead Cenobite.
Because I was like... in my actual notes say Pinhead / Cenobites. Because I was like, first and foremost, I've never met, outside of Kirsty Cotton, I've never met a single fucking character in one of those Hellraiser movies that didn't fucking deserve what happened to them.
Yeah.
Every character in those movies fucking sucks. And deserves everything that they had coming to them.
Yeah.
I like the Cenobites. I like the Cenobites as like this, like, interdimensional kind of like weird fucked up police sort of situation. They're kind of like, they're not really the police, but they're kind of like, you know, you've done some fucked up shit, like you summoned us, like you now have to kind of come with us. They're like really fucking hardcore Doctor Who villains.
The thing is, as well, is they feel like they're kind of agreeable to a degree as well. Yeah. Like, with the first film, like, when she's like, I didn't mean to, also, my uncle's over there, he escaped. They kind of do just let her go.
Yeah.
They're kind of like, yeah, fine, I guess.
I like even in the second one, when she's in the fucking mental asylum with the little blonde girl, whose name I can't remember, and Julia's there, and she, like, helps them to capture Julia, and, like... fucking Chenard's running around being a dickhead, and then they all get turned back into that human form. Like, I think, like, this is the great thing. Like, Pinhead's a reasonable dude, like, or person.
Dudette.
I genuinely do like the relationship with him and Kirsty, and I can understand why Kirsty becomes like the Hell Priest in the comic books. Like, I can understand why that mantle gets passed on to her. But I just think, like, there's something about Pinhead. He's like, As we've said before, the character is a very elegant villain. But the character, for the most part, also does play by the rules, which kind of makes it easy for you to root for them. Like, the character is a person who, obviously, their own curiosity led them down the darkest paths and to the darkest recesses. But in doing so, like, there is that half-human, half-evil side to him until, obviously, part three, when they become two separate characters. And, obviously... Pinhead becomes, like, the father of all evil and Elliot Spencer becomes a simp like he was before. But I fully appreciate, like, the fact that they work within a set of rules. And, like, that to me is kind of, like, I'd love to see, like, them do a Hellraiser movie that kind of, like, works on the bureaucracy of, like, heaven and hell. They kind of do it a little bit in Judgment, but not enough for my liking. Like, I just want to see, like, Cenobites filling out paperwork and, like, filing shit and being like, soul number 642.
Oh, a little bit like Miracle Workers.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, Pinhead's like, oh, what's this wonder? Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh, you're sending me to fucking mission. Oh, behave. Like, he's just, like, he's just having a day where he's like, I don't really want to do it. He's like, can we not send, like, Chatterer or one of the dogs or something? He's like, I really can't be asked.
Send the slimy one that swings from the roof. That one.
Yeah.
Send him.
Send that guy.
I'm tired. I'm having a break, okay? It's Easter weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo!
So, yeah, like, I don't know how you... I don't... Like, I assume he's on your list for different reasons to me.
No, basically the exact same reasons, to be honest. I think Hellraiser is one of the most agreeable horror villains because he works within a set...
Hellraiser.
Oh, sorry. Pinhead is one of the most blah, 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 blah. He works within, like, a set of rules, and he does stick quite closely to those rules. Like, he never really breaks his rules. I'm sure as the series goes further on, he starts breaking his rules and does just become a straight up...
Yeah. But, like, even like, the Jamie Clayton iteration,
she works within her own set of rules
as well. With a completely different set of rules to the Doug Bradley version. But, like, I think the two guys who play Pinhead in the later Hellraiser movies are supposed to be, like, the Doug Bradley version. It's supposed to be, like, a continuation of that character. Whereas, like, Jamie Clayton's version is obviously a completely different version of the character. But, yeah, like, even, like... I don't necessarily agree with all of the extra rules and lore that they added into the new Hellraiser movie. Like, the whole shit about, like, you can fucking select somebody else if you don't want to go, all that fucking nonsense. Mm. But I do like the fact that they work on, like, a bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, other than that, just basically what you said.
Okay. So who is... I feel like we might have the same number one, but I'm going to let you go first.
My number one is Ryuk. No. Could you imagine if I went all that? My number one is Ryuk. Which, to be fair, but I'm entirely sure he's the villain. My number one is Candyman.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Same.
Samesies, bro.
Bro, this dude's... Daniel Robitaille, to say his actual name. This dude's only crime is the fact that he entered into an interracial relationship with a woman in the wrong time period. That is literally this dude's only crime.
He ate some white chocolate. That's basically all he like, did wrong.
He was a super talented artist. He fell in love with this lady. And then a bunch of racist cunts fucking murdered him. And then, yeah. And like,
all tipped bees on him, which is a weird and cruel punishment.
Although, I've never really considered this until this very moment. Is Candyman kind of like how Dracula is depicted in Bram Stoker's Dracula? He's all like, there's this woman... years into the future, who looks like the woman I was in love with. He's like, I'm just going to creep about and make her fall in love with me.
Yeah, pretty much.
And hope that she's like, oh yeah, I look like that woman from that grainy black and white photo or that little drawing. All right, you got me. Let's go. Yeah, that's kind of his whole thing.
His whole shtick.
I will say, though, Candyman has more riz than Dracula.
Way more riz.
Although, like, Gary Oldman's Dracula is a pimp when he's got the fucking hat and he's in the thing. Yeah, and he's doing, all like... He's doing, like, I've crossed oceans of time to find you. What? But, like, Candyman's just... Candyman, I'll give you three reasons why you root for Candyman, right? Tony Todd. Mm-hmm. Fucking legend. Number two, he's just killing bad people. Number three... He's just cool. But he also is like, hey man, that husband of yours is cheating on you with this bitch who's painted your house pink. If I give you some powers, maybe just kill her, maybe. Like, yeah, I love Candyman, dude. Like, we've spoken at length so many times on this podcast about Candyman, about the character, about the story. Like, he's a villain by necessity. Like, This is like one of those typical, like, The Crow, Dracula type of, like, revenge movies. But, like, I don't ever want to root against him.
No.
Ever. I just want the man to be happy. I just want him to chill, be happy, find the love of his life, settle down, have some weird Candyman kids.
Kids and beehives.
Yeah, just...
Protect the hive.
Yeah, he would... Candyman's the OG beekeeper.
He is. He actually formed the beekeepers. They don't address that, but he actually formed the beekeepers.
Yes. Yeah. Because Candyman's not just a man, he's the whole damn hive. Or whatever the fuck it is that dude says in the remake, Legacy sequel, whatever that film is. So yeah, like, what reasons did...
I mean, you've basically crossed them all off again.
But did you have any other reasons?
No, not really. You've basically crossed the whole lot off again.
Sorry. But again, like, I find it weird. Two Clive Barker characters that start off, like, very noble, with, like, very noble, elegant intentions, and then some film studio just went, yeah, let's make them generic slashers.
Isn't it the same film studio?
Yeah, it's Dimension.
Yeah.
Or is it? Maybe. I don't know. I can't actually remember.
I feel like it's Dimension.
Yeah, probably.
Hellraiser definitely is Dimension.
Yeah, and I think maybe Dimension got the Candyman sequels. Because they did exactly the same fucking thing with the Crow movies as well. They just went, yeah, let's just make these like...
Fucking Dimension.
Super fucking generic. Or Miramax, whoever the fuck it was. But yeah, they're not great. Spoiler alert, we will be covering a Candyman sequel and a Hellraiser sequel a little bit later in the year. Mm. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, those are our top five villains that we root for. What? Who would be your choices? I'm really fascinated to see who like other people's choices were and like how thirsty and horny people get, because I feel like a lot of people are trying to rub them pins and stroke that hook. Like, that's why those two guys are like super popular.
I do. I'm a little disappointed I didn't put Rurik on my list. I'm not going to lie to you.
He's not a villain, though.
I feel like I could have got away with putting Light. The only problem is his light is insufferable.
You could have put this little guy next to Amy Winehouse as well.
Oh, I guess I could have. I didn't even think about him.
I'm surprised Killer Clowns didn't make your list, if I'm being totally honest.
No, I don't really root for him. I don't root for anyone in that film. I just like watching the chaos unfold.
Fair enough. So yeah, come find us on social media, SIMAHFpod. On Twitter /X, So I'm Married a Horror Fan, all lowercase, all one word, on Tumblr and Instagram. Come share your thoughts with us. Let us know who your choices would be. As always, thanks for listening. Stay spooky. Stay safe. Take care. Bye-bye.